Let's ask God to help us this morning, so let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the scriptures. They're real nourishment to us, so they feed our souls. We thank you for one another and the opportunity to learn together and to work together as a church. Thank you for Chris, who's led our service through, and we pray that you would help us to focus our minds on the truth. By your Spirit, work them into our hearts and souls, we pray, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Well, thank you for welcome back. I wonder what goes through your mind when you hear the word faith, the word faith. Do you automatically associate it as a religious word? Do you think that all people of faith are religious people? Whether they're Christians or they're Jews or they're Muslims, whatever they are, they're people of faith. Or is faith for you just a matter of guesswork? Well, I don't know what the future holds, but have faith. Is faith a matter of guesswork? In the image that I've got coming up, sometimes faith is given to us as not knowing where you're going. You're just wandering down a pathway and you don't know where you are. Would you ever associate, for example, an atheist or agnostic person as a person of faith? Is faith only a gift of God, or does everybody have some kind of faith? Is it just something personal to you? Something that cannot be reasoned or discussed? Is it just blind belief? Take this definition here that comes up on the screen. See that? It's a feeling or conviction of, or belief of something that is true or real without having evidence, says one dictionary. Now, Hebrews 11 is a whole chapter about faith. And it starts off by saying that faith is a confidence or an assurance of things that are hoped for. It's a conviction. They're the words, aren't they? Assurance and conviction of things not seen. I think the writer to the Hebrews is concerned about these Jewish believers, young Jewish believers, slipping back into their Judaism. And he's shown them through the book that Jesus Christ is supreme. There's nothing to beat him. But then they're bound to ask the question, well, what about all these Old Testament ones, the saints of the old? What about them? As some of our hymn put it. Well, he said they too walked by faith. They couldn't see the Lord Jesus with their eyes, but they walked by faith looking to the future. And he lists them all the way through the book. He calls them, here it says, the people of old. They receive their commendation in verse 2. One translation calls it the ancients. They lived by faith. In fact, almost every paragraph begins with the phrase, by faith. You've got it there for Abel. The NIV has a separate paragraph for Enoch at verse 5. And almost every time you look at a paragraph, almost every time, by faith Abraham, by faith Abraham, by faith Moses, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. It just runs through the whole chapter. These people lived by faith. So our task is to work out, first of all, what is faith? What is faith? And in order to be clear what faith is, I'd like to spend a few moments thinking about what faith is not. I learned this trick from Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. Whenever he told you what a text meant, he always started with what a text did not mean. So what is faith not? What is the opposite of faith? This is what I think people outside the church think. Some think it's just a blind leap. You close your eyes and you just go. Leap. Hoping that something good will happen. Some pictures I saw in Google Images show people just jumping off a cliff edge. They had faith, hoping they're going to land safely. Is that what faith is? No. There's a schoolboy definition I read that says faith is believing what you know is not true. Faith is believing what you know is not true. No. I think the common view of today in our sceptical post-modern world is that faith is a little bit immature, it's foolish, it's naive. Only weak people need faith. Most of us today, you see, we 21st century people, we've outgrown the need of that old-fashioned idea. To be a person of faith is to be gullible. I think that's how people would put it today, isn't it? Well, all of those are wrong, according to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 says it's a matter of confidence. It's a conviction. In other words, genuine faith is far from naive. It's based on certain evidence, certain things we believe are true. And for us, as believers, that includes what God has said and what God has done. It's based on past evidence and past facts. Yes, sometimes it does look a bit naive. That is true. It does look a bit foolish. Like trusting things you can't see, trusting Jesus is going to return. But we've got evidence for that. Past evidence, things that Jesus said. I do want to say to my sceptical friend, do you trust in gravity? Do you trust in electricity? Well, you can't see those things, can you? But you act because they're true. So I think it's worth just making a tangential comment here. Don't we all have faith? Don't we all have faith? And the answer, I think, is yes. We have all have some kind of faith. It may not be biblical faith. But we all believe certain things. Certain things that are true and certain things that are safe. We get in the car, we turn on the ignition, and we believe with our driving the car will bring us here. It took a bit more faith to believe in Aeroflot that would take us to Russia. But we got there. We got there on time. We go to the shops and we expect our food to be there. We're disappointed when it's not there. What's gone wrong? We believe that the food we're going to buy is good for us. It won't poison us. We're pretty sure that's true. We can't actually prove that the next mouthful won't poison us. But we believe that, don't we? So in a sense, we all have a bit of faith. Everybody, every human. We have faith in the way the world works. We believe that when we go to sleep, we will normally wake up. It doesn't always happen, but usually that's the way. That's the normal pattern. We believe that the sun will rise the next day and give us a new day. We believe that if we jump up in the air, we will come down. At least we believe that on this planet Earth. We believe that outside of the Earth's gravitational pull, it's different. There are certain ways the world functions, and we go along with them. To not do so would be foolish. So in that sense, we all have a bit of faith. We live every day with a certain level of faith, of trust in the way things are, of the certainty that they're usually going to be like this every day. But Bible faith seems more than that, more than that. So let's ask the question that I really want to get down to. What then is faith? What do we mean about faith? Listen to the way the translation called The Message puts verse 1. Peterson puts it like this. The fundamental fact of existence is that this trust in God, this faith, is the firm foundation under everything that makes life worth living. It's our handle on what we can't see. Or the NIV puts it like this. Faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we cannot see. And here's our ESV. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. In other words, faith is not something on its own. We don't just have faith. Or as Francis Schaeffer used to say, we don't even have faith in faith. As if faith were some sort of magical dust that wafts around. Faith is not a thing. It's more like a water pipe or a connector or an electricity cable. When people say they have faith, the issue is not faith itself, but the object of faith. Who or what are we putting our faith in? In fact, most of the time the Bible uses the word faith, it's always faith in the Lord Jesus, faith in something. Faith is more like the connector. What is our faith based upon? Where does that connector take us to? Perhaps, as Grace said this morning, a better word than faith is the word trust. I think that's an easier word to understand and an easier word to see. So here's a few statements that I think help us to understand this. Faith is personal trust in the promises of God. You see, in the Bible, faith is always trusting someone. Who do we trust? Children trust their parents. Believers trust God himself and what God says. And ever since Jesus came, Jesus being God, believers trust in the Lord Jesus. We trust in the living God and in His Son, the Lord Jesus, because they are trustworthy. They never lie. They know all things. And the Lord Jesus constantly invites him into a friendship with himself, to follow him, to trust him, to come to him all the time for help. So faith is more than just merely agreeing about something. It's more than just an intellectual belief. Faith has an object. It believes in God, in all that God has said. And of course the whole of the Bible takes us to the Lord Jesus, as our last song said. But by faith, even the prophets, everybody went forward pointing to the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament. So when we talk about faith, we mean believing and trusting in the promises of God, and in particular in the Lord Jesus himself. Or you could put it this way, faith leans all its weight on the Lord Jesus. Not just the fact that Jesus lived historically, not just the fact that Jesus died and rose again, but the fact that Jesus is coming again. As we'll see in a moment, faith is both past and future orientated. So faith in the Bible is really a shorthand word for three words. Faith in Christ. Faith doesn't exist by itself, it connects us to the Lord Jesus. Now Hebrews 11 here shows faith in action. Because if faith doesn't show itself in action, how do you know if anybody has any faith? And it shows itself in action in the lives of Old Testament people. So for faith to be true, it must be lived out. Otherwise, according to James, faith is dead. If there's no action, it's dead. So can we say from verse 1 that faith acts? It acts today, it trusts today, not in what can be seen with our eyes, but in what is true about the future. Faith, I think we can say that. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the people of old received the commendation. And then he starts talking about the creation of the world. The future is discovered as we understand Jesus and the apostles. Faith today is based on everything that God has said in the past. And that will lead us to a certain future. Why do we believe in heaven and hell? Why do we believe in an eternal life? Because God has said that in the past. So we believe that about the future. And when the Bible talks about eternal life, we know it's more than just an extended life. It's not this life continuing. It's a quality of life that takes us to eternity. Doesn't end in death. We've discovered that Jesus has overcome death. So based on all that God has said and done in history, as recorded in Scripture, faith confidently believes that God and his Son, Jesus Christ, are true. So we trust him, the Lord Jesus. We hand over our lives to him in great confidence that just as the past is true, so the future will be true. We walk every day by faith, by putting our hand in the hand of the Lord Jesus. Faith is both past and future orientated. Now, can you see, according to verse 3, that God made the world? By faith we understand that the universe was created by the word of God, so that what is seen and the world around us was not made out of things that are visible. Do you believe that God made the world? If you do, that is because you have faith. The only way to see that this world is made by a creator God is to be a person of faith. It takes more so-called faith, I think, to believe that the world happened by chance than to believe it had a personal creator. We used to give this illustration years ago. Can you imagine all the books in a library are thrown up in the air and then down they land, beautifully organized, every one of them on the shelves in the right order. Can you imagine that? Now we look around the world, it's obvious to us that this world is made by faith. I took with me to Russia some magic eye pictures. I might pass them around afterwards. You know those pictures that you look at and stare at, and the more you stare at them and stare at them, all of a sudden the 3D image starts to appear to you. Do you know those? They look blurred, and then you stare, and then you see it, a 3D picture. The 3D picture's in there anyway. Some people see it. Some people can't. Imagine two scientists. They're presented with the same evidence of this world, and they come to two different conclusions. The Christian says, God made it. The atheist says, it all came about by some evolutionary process and through science. They both looked at the same evidence. One looked by faith, the other by evidence alone. By the way, I'd like to have a word with the person who believes in evidence alone. If you think that evidence alone is all that's required, I want to suggest to you you're still making a faith judgment. How do you know that the person who's told you that information is talking sense? How do you know that your own brain and mind is processing the material properly? How do you know that? You see, all evidence still has to be trusted, doesn't it? That's why science never clashes with faith. Faith today means a trust in the God who has spoken and acted in the past. It means a trust in the way in which God has planned the future, in the world we live in and the next world, even though we cannot see it with our eyes. We trust that God is good in all things, because the evidence we read in the scriptures and the evidence we see in the universe points in that direction. So faith is both past and future orientated. Here's a third point I think we can make from our text. Without faith, we cannot please God. I think we get this clearly in verse 6. Having talked about the creation in verse 3, and then Abel and Enoch, when you get to verse 6, the writer sort of makes a little conclusion. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly or diligently seek him. Faith pleases God. Of course, you must first believe that God exists. You must believe also that you can communicate with the God who exists, because he rewards you if you seek him. In other words, in order to please God, look at the world and see how it came about. Did God make it, or did it just happen? Is there a clear mind and thinking and thought behind the universe and the way it's put together? According to the Bible, God spoke and the world came into being. So what we see was made out of something that couldn't be seen before, made out of nothing. Before there were no people, no flowers. Now there are. Whatever process God used, these things came into being. Do you believe God is the creator? God is pleased if you do believe that. And if you do, it's because you have faith. It's because you trust him. And if you have faith in God the creator, are you prepared to listen to that creator as he speaks? Abel did listen. Cain did not. Do you notice that in the text? Look at those two men. By faith, Abel offered a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, though he was commended, through which he was commended as righteous. God commending him by accepting his gifts, and through his faith, though he died, he still speaks. So Abel offered a better sacrifice. Why? Because he did what God required. He was willing to do that. Cain didn't. That's not the way Cain operated. Cain thought he would do it his way. Cain acted on what he thought he would do. And when we act not according to what God requires, we are no longer a person of faith. A person of faith always acts according to the way in which God required. And God is pleased with that. In other words, faith is essential to listen to God and therefore to live properly. Let me try and summarise what I'm wanting to say this morning. What is faith? Faith is committed and active trust in God and his son Jesus right now. It is based on God's past action and continues all the way through to the future. A person of faith is a person who to a certain extent takes risks. As we'll see these people in the Old Testament, they took risks. They acted in faith even though they couldn't see the future. It looked very risky. Faith continues to trust God for what it cannot see. or to go back to verse 1, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Faith doesn't have it all now. Faith walks with God in anticipation of the future. Faith is confident that all is well because God will do all things well based on the way he's acted in the past. So these ancients that we're going to look at are highly commended for their faith. At 10:39, the end of the previous chapter, the writer says, we believers, are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but are those who have faith and preserve their souls, or persevere with their souls. They keep going. They, like us, believe that the future was glorious because of the way they saw God act in the past. That's what the ancients did, and that's who he's going to use as examples for us. So God wants all people to put him first. He wants people to believe that he is wise and true, whatever anybody else says. He calls us to trust him. He calls us to live by that trust, not to shrink back. He wants us to call others to trust him too, to live by faith. Now we need to put an aside here. There is a possibility, just a possibility, a tiny possibility. There is a possibility that we could be wrong. There is a possibility we could be wrong. We are fallible humans. So we need to gather the best evidence we can. And in truth, all that evidence hangs on one key issue, as far as I can see in the scriptures. All the way through the scriptures, it hangs on one key issue. Did Jesus Christ rise again from the dead? It all hangs on the evidence of the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So we call on people to put their trust in the God who's acted in history, the only God who can forgive sin, and the only God who can open up a new dimension into an eternal world. And it's that eternity that drives us forward. Key to that is that this God can overcome death and sin. True faith in Jesus Christ makes sense of the world today. It makes sense of life and eternity. That's why we call on one another, human beings all over the world, to put their trust in the Lord Jesus right away. By faith, we see the hand of God. Well, let me tell you where we're going to go in the rest of the chapter for the next few weeks. We're going to go to one verse in Hebrews 11. We're going to go to verse number 32. Because the writer ran out of time. You see, he got to 32. He says, what more shall I say? For time would fail me. Well, if time has failed him, we're going to make use of the time. We're going to look at some of those characters, Gideon, Barak, and David over the next few weeks. Let's pray that God will help us to be people of faith as we walk forward, not completely sure of the future. Let's pray together. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you call on people everywhere to seek you. You are a very, very good God, and you're not playing hide and seek with us, but you're drawing us to yourself. You're calling us to trust you. We're sorry that we've made faith so confusing. So just as we trust other people who are fallible, we thank you, O Lord, that we can trust you who is infallible. So we do so once more today. We bow our heads and say, O Lord, we trust you. We trust you with our lives and with our futures. We thank you that Jesus Christ died and rose again, that he can forgive sins and open up the way into your presence. We believe that. And we entrust our lives into your capable hands, whatever the future might hold. We thank you that we are more secure than ever when we are held tightly by you and in your grip. Teach us to walk by faith day by day, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, my brother.
We're going to sing.